This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? It's Only a Paper Moon, Old Devil Moon, April in Paris, How Are Things in Guacamora, Last Night When We Were Young, and all the songs from The Wizard of Oz have lyrics by Yip Harburg. His longest collaboration was with composer Harold Arlen.
Hello, Mr. Harburg. Hello, Mr. Arlen.
Hello, Judy. We've been waiting for you.
Judy, we've just finished writing one of the songs you're to sing in The Wizard of Oz, and no one's heard it yet. So we've got our fingers crossed.
Oh, I can hardly wait. Will you teach it to me, please, now?
My guests are Ernie Harburg, who co-wrote a book about his father, Yip, and music theater scholar Dina Rosenberg, who worked closely with Yip Harburg in the decade before his death in 1981. Ernie Harburg and Dina Rosenberg have been married for 17 years. They've collaborated on a review of Yip Harburg's songs, which is currently being performed at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia. Harburg was born in 1896, the son of poor Russian immigrants living in New York. In junior high school, he became good friends with a soon-to-be great lyricist, Ira Gershwin. In an interview that Dina Rosenberg conducted with Yip Harburg, she asked how Ira helped Yip get into songwriting.
He didn't get me into songwriting. What got me into songwriting was the capitalist system. I went into business after school because I didn't think you could make money at versifying. I sold poems. And I'd get $10 or $15. Well, how could you live on that? So I went into business. I had to support my mother and father. And the business started becoming very affluent. It looked as if I was going to be a very successful businessman. But I never stopped contributing to the different columns in the different newspapers, so that while I was at business, this was really my love. And I thought I'd be able to sell the business in another few years and become a writer. But heaven was ahead of me, and that beautiful depression, 1929, came along, knocked the hell out of my business, put me in debt, and I immediately got a hold of Ira and said, Ira, I said, I think I'd like to be a songwriter from here on. I'm through with business. And he said, you should have done it a long time ago. But I was fearful. And he introduced me to Jay Gorney. Mm-hmm. And Jay Gorney at that time was writing with Howard Dietz, and they broke up. And I began writing with Jay. And it was quite a hard job making a transition from light verse writing to lyric writing, because there's a vast difference. The difference between a lyric and a poem is a histrionic quality that a lyric has that a poem does not have to have. A poem is intellectual. A lyric is emotional and dramatic.
That's Yip Harburg in an interview recorded in 1979 with my guest Dina Rosenberg, and she co-wrote a new review of Harburg's songs, which is now at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia. Also with us is Ernie Harburg, who's the president of the Harburg Foundation. He's Yip Harburg's son. He's a research scientist who also co-wrote a biography of his father. Well, so we just found out about how Ira Gershwin really played a significant role in getting Yip Harburg started as a lyricist, and even introduced him to Jay Gorney, who was the first major composer that Harburg collaborated with. And their really big hit together was Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? Mm-hmm. And Ernie Harburg, I'm going to ask you, in your biography of your father, you write how the song Brother, Can You Spare a Dime started off as a different lyric. I mean, when Harburg met Gorney presented him this song that already had a lyric. Would you read us what the original lyric was?
Yeah. What happened was that there was a review called Americana devoted to what they called The Forgotten Man. And it was about the Depression. And the the money was instantly gone, and the show was going under in rehearsal. And Yip wanted this show. He went to Schubert, and he said, look, I'll get in some composers, and I'll put this show together for you, all right? And so he called in young Harold Arlen, young Burton Lane, young Sammy Fain, Johnny Green to help him with the lyrics. And then he asked each of the composers to play him some tunes, which they all had in what they call the trunk, you know, the ones that never got out. And when Jay's turn came, Jay played him several songs, and he heard this one song, which Jay sang, and I'm quoting from the book here, I could go on crying big blue tears ever since you said we were through. I could go on crying big blue tears, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, whatever. It was a torch song, and that was what the dominant song was at that time. And Yip listened carefully, heard the tune, the music, and said to Jay, could we take out the lyrics? I think we can do something else with that. And then it was supposed to be a satire in a comedic setting in the review. And at that time, Rockefeller used to go around giving dimes to kids on the streets. And Yip had this funny line about sharing a dime between Rockefeller and the kid. But then in the writing of it, all of Yip's political, social philosophy started coming out, that Yip was a socialist at the time, and he was very, very deeply concerned about the working guy. And it started getting serious and developed into the great lyric for Brother Can You Spare a Dime.
I think one of the reasons it got serious, too, besides, of course, the fact that Yip had all this history to him in terms of his own poverty and his own beliefs, was that that melody was a melody in a minor key, a sadder kind of a key, and that the musical ear that Yip had heard something that composers over centuries had heard. In when you put that minor scale going upwards, it kind of resounds in our Western music ears anyway, to be a kind of a melancholy and a poignant resonance. It's not a torch song, a lighter song, a love song, whatever. So there was some incongruence, a deep incongruence he heard between that original lyric and that music. So I think that the music was an inspiration, as well as the fact that Yip wanted to write a different kind of a lyric to the song.
Why don't we hear the hit version from 1932, recorded by Bing Crosby. This is Brother Can You Spare a Dime, lyric by Yip Harburg, music by Jay Gorney.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower up to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime?
It's Brother Can You Spare a Dime, with a lyric by Yip Harburg, music by Jay Gorney, recorded in 1932 by Bing Crosby. Well, that was the first of many socially conscious types of songs that Yip Harburg wrote. Why was he so into the socially conscious song?
Yip was born into extremely dire poverty on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. He saw so much, even within his own family setting, much less on the street and in the whole context, but had several siblings die in childbirth, had to sleep on a chair or on the floor, you know, with the remaining siblings and so on, and was always without heat, without light, and all of that. That he had it in his bones that there had to be a better way. And as he grew up and was educated, and there were wonderful things about America, like libraries that he discovered, and friends like Ira Gershwin, the Gershwin family, and so on. And in Brother, Can You Spare a Dime, there's a question, or a lot of questions, actually, and Yip's songs are noted for questions. You know, the title is Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? And the last line of the verse of the song, Why Should I Be Standing in Line Just Waiting for Bread? It's a question. And so it's sort of a paradoxical thing. Here's a land of plenty. Here's a place where there should be work. There should be a situation. It should be better. And yet, that's not happening. And so it's a kind of a wanting to get people to understand that there is this paradox and perhaps move them to action. He was a writer who wanted to, through song, move people to action.
We'll talk more about lyricist Yip Harburg after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about the lyrics of Yip Harburg, which are being celebrated now in a show in Philadelphia, which is called Over the Rainbow, and it's at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia. My guest, Dina Rosenberg, co-wrote the show, Ernie Harburg. My other guest is Yip's son and co-wrote a biography of his father. And Dina Rosenberg and Ernie Harburg are married. The longest and, I think, most productive collaboration that Yip Harburg had was with Harold Arlen, and among their many collaborations were the songs for The Wizard of Oz. What was Yip Harburg's role in The Wizard of Oz, besides working on the lyrics? Because he did more than that.
Yes, he did a lot more, and I would sum it up by saying that at first, he conceived the idea of integrating the songs and the dances, he wrote all the setups or dialogue leading into the songs during that period, and then he wrote the whole section at the end where the wizard gives out the heart, the brain, the nerve, and finally, he was the final editor in which he put the whole thing together in a way that he was eminently gifted for, because he'd done that with Broadway shows as a show doctor on Broadway.
So Yip Harburg pushed to have the songs tell the story,
yes,
and not just be added on to the story.
Exactly.
And the place where the songs tell the story, that's the most striking example in The Wizard of Oz, is the Munchkin Land sequence, where the house lands in Munchkin Land, and you've had Somewhere Over the Rainbow, of course, the great song, but basically you've been in a black and white world where there isn't color and much music in the little girl's life. Once you get to Munchkin Land, you've got music all the way through it, weaving in and out of the whole story of what happened to that witch, and the good witch comes and the bad witch died, and you
ding
have
dong,
to go
the witch is dead,
and you've got to go off to see the wizard and follow the yellow brick road and that whole business. And in a way, you could think of it that, you know, people credit rightly Oklahoma for setting a new trend in the Broadway musical in terms of the integration of elements. But here you have a film musical which is really integrating elements in a similar kind of way that was several years Oklahoma's predecessor.
The characters of the Cowardly Lion and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow are told through song. The characters are described through their songs, and the lyrics are wonderful for those three songs. Why don't we listen to Yip Harburg himself singing the lyrics he wrote to introduce those characters? This is from The Wizard of Oz.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my thoughts I'd be hatching while my head was busy scratching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel any riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain. And perhaps I'd deserve you and be even worthier of you if I only had a brain. And a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kind of human if I only had a heart. Life's is sad, believe me, missy, when you're born to be a sissy without the vim and verb. But I could show my prowess, be a lion, not a mouse, if I only had the nerve.
That's Yip Harburg from a CD called Yip Sings Harburg. I think probably the most famous song from The Wizard of Oz is Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which is the title of your show paying tribute to the lyrics of Yip Harburg. And there's a great story, Ernie Harburg, that you tell in your biography of your father about how Yip Harburg suggested the idea of a rainbow to Harold Arlen before Harold Arlen actually wrote the melody for the song. So talk to us a little bit about the origins of the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Yeah. What made your father think that a rainbow should be in this song in the first place? Because it's not mentioned, I believe, in the book.
Right. In L. Frank Baum's book, in the first paragraph, he describes a landscape in Kansas which has no color. It's all black and white and gray and dim, and Dorothy resides there. She's an orphan, apparently, and she has this yearning to grow and live in other places, and she's had in trouble there. And then Yip conceived the idea of a rainbow that she could think about, and Yip had the idea about, I want to get to the other side of the rainbow. And that's what he told Harold.
So what did Yip Harburg think of the melody when Harold Arlen gave him the melody and said, now you can write the lyric?
Well, Harold was a wonderful piano player, but Harold played it in this symphonic way. And Yip listened to it, and he said, Harold, that sounds like Nelson Eddy, you know, an operatic kind of thing. He said, that's not for a little girl on Kansas. Why don't you keep working on it? And he went away. And 2 weeks later, Harold called him and said, yep, you have to come over. This is the music for what we need. I know it. And Yip always respects when a composer says that. So he came over again, listened to it. And he was still dubious. So at that time, there was a wonderful community, which Dina writes about in her book on collaboration of George and Ira Gershwin. All of these songwriters would meet at the Gershwin House, for instance, have a salon. They'd play their songs for each other. So it was just natural for them to call Ira to come over and say, Ira, listen to this. We've got a little difference. And Ira listened. And he said, Harold, why don't you just play it in a more simple kind of melody in a more popular way, or maybe Dina can describe the musical words.
Well, he said, Ira said, just play the melodic line, the melody, what someone would sing, very simply. And when that other stuff was taken away, Yip could hear that this could be the voice of a child, of a young girl. And he said, oh, yes, now I can hear it.
Dina Rosenberg and Ernie Harburg will be back in the second half of the show to talk more about the lyrics of Yip Harburg. The review of his songs is at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're talking about lyricist Yip Harburg. He wrote the lyrics to Brother Can You Spare a Dime, Old Devil Moon, and April in Paris. He collaborated with Harold Arlen on the songs for The Wizard of Oz. A review of Harburg's songs is being performed at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia. My guests are his son, Ernie Harburg, and theater music scholar, Dina Rosenberg. She and Ernie Harburg have been married for 17 years. Harold Arlen told John Lahr, now the theater critic for The New Yorker, and the son of Bert Lahr, who was in The Wizard of Oz, Arlen told him that Yip Harburg was not a blues thinker. He said he likes things to be joyous and or poetic. And in that respect, I think Arlen and Harburg were a strange match. Was it a comfortable relationship for them? What was their working relationship like?
As far as I understand it from talking to Yip, they had a wonderful working relationship. There was something maybe about, I don't know if it's opposites attract or if it's something they could hear in each other's things which made a three-dimensionality to the characters. In other words, that in order to get a character to come alive, you need the various dimensions. You need the part that's got the joyousness, that's got the verbiage that's clever and that is intellectually witty and so on, and you've got a bluesier musical sound that juxtaposes to it. However, an interesting comment in this regard is that when Yip wanted to do maybe his most famous Broadway show, Finian's Rainbow, which is a deeply political show, Harold Arlen didn't want to write that show with him because it was too political for him. And so Yip had to turn to another composer he respected deeply, Burton Lane, who felt as politically strongly as Yip did. And they managed, Yip always used to like to say, they gilded the philosophic pill. They tried not to put, you know, all their attacks on racism and capitalism and so on in too unpalatable a way. But there were cases where Arlen and Harburg could not match up. And in that show, that was a case.
Ernie Harburg, your father, Yip Harburg, wrote something about just the importance of song and how songs move people. And I'd like you to read that for us.
All right. You know, there's really two parts to this. One is what a song is, and the other one is the impact of songs. And what a song is, essentially, according to Yip, is that the magic in song only happens when the words give destination and meaning to the music, and the music gives wings to the words. Together, as a song, they go places you've never been before. The reason is obvious. Words make you think thoughts. Music makes you feel a feeling. But a song makes you feel a thought. That's the great advantage, to feel the thought. And that's why you can teach more through song and you can rouse more through song than all the prose in the world or all the poems. Songs have been the not-so-secret weapon behind every fight for freedom, every struggle against injustice and bigotry. The Marseillaise, the battle hymn of the Republic, We Shall Overcome, and many, many more. Songs are the pulse of a nation's heart, a fever chart of its health. Are we at peace? Are we in trouble? Are we floundering? Do we feel beautiful? Do we feel ugly? Listen to our songs. The lyricist, like any artist, cannot be neutral. He should be committed to the side of humanity. That was Yip's words.
Well, one of the things that Dina Rosenberg and Ernie Harburg, you both have in common is your appreciation of Yip Harburg's songs. Another thing you have in common is that you're married. and I'd be interested in the story of how you met. Now, Dina Rosenberg, I know you were doing a lot of music theater research, and that research included spending a lot of time with Yip Harburg. You did many interviews with him. Did you meet Yip Harburg before meeting your husband?
Yeah, it's an interesting story because I did meet Yip well before I met Ernie, and we were doing projects together. I think he appreciated the fact that someone much younger, what he considered the younger generation, appreciated the older generation of great classic songwriters. And we just worked on all kinds of things, writing projects, performance projects, and so on. And I would meet Ernie in passing at things. We lived in different cities. Ernie was a research scientist, and he was living in Michigan. And I was living in New York and doing research on the West Coast. And then what happened was that Yip, who was an eternal leprechaun, 84 years young when he died, got a little premonition that he might not be immortal. And he started to think about things that he really wanted to have done in his life or see done after he died. And the two people that he talked to about these very important projects were his son, Ernie. And Ernie would come into New York and they would have long talks about certain aspects of things. And I'm very honored to say to myself about other kinds of projects. And so that what happened was that when Yip actually did die, on his way to a production meeting, he never knew what hit him. He just was in a car, was stopped at a traffic light, and he had a massive heart attack and died, and creating, you know, till the moment that he was no longer alive. I went back to his apartment to help his widow with organizing his papers and so on, organizing a tribute in New York. And Ernie came into New York for similar purpose and walked into the apartment and said, "Oh, Dina," and he sort of threw his arms around me because Yip had talked about me and we'd met at various functions, but there was nothing really that was bringing us together as a social couple. Ernie had a wife and a family, but unfortunately she was dying of cancer. And so we had this little list from Yip of things we were supposed to work on together. And after the tragedy of Ernie's wife's death, we found that we had fallen in love over these things we were doing together and just who we were. And that's how it happened.
So Yip Harburg's list is what brought you together. It's as if part of his bequeathal was to have you married.
Yes.
Something like that. It was almost as if he saw it coming.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us and for sharing some stories about Yip Harburg. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And good luck with the show.
Thank you. It was wonderful to be here.
Ernie Harburg is Yip Harburg's son. Dina Rosenberg founded the Music Theater Writing Program at New York University. The Yip Harburg Review is at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia. Here's Susanna McCorkle singing Old Devil Moon, music by Burton Lane, lyrics by Yip Harburg.
I look at you and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil moon that you stole from the skies. It's that old devil moon. You and your glance make this romance too hot to handle. Stars in the night blazing their light can't hold a candle to your razzle dazzle. You've got me flying high and wide on a magic carpet ride full of butterflies inside. Wanna cry, wanna croon, wanna laugh like a loon. It's that old devil moon.
This is Fresh Air.